Hey guys, welcome back to the Christian Contrast Podcast, the podcast that we talk about the ways that Christ calls us to live differently than the world around us. I'm here with my good friend Troy. I'm really excited because we're going to be talking about discipleship, and Troy's been in ministry for a long time, so I'm excited to see what we can learn. Troy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here. Yeah. Love this topic about discipleship.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what you can share with us. My first question for you is, what do you think of when you think of the word discipleship? What comes to mind?
I just think the first phrase that comes to mind is passing on. We need to pass this on, this faith that we have. It's not going to go to the next generation unless we purposely, intentionally pass it on. And so I just think of the call upon us as Christians. We have this burden to pass it to the next generation. Mm. In fact, I tried to think of it this way, that we're one generation away from Christianity being extinct in any given culture unless we pass it on, unless we make disciples. Yeah. I mean, think about it. How are the next generation going to flourish in the gospel as Christians if no one passes it on to them? Yeah. Like, we're one generation. If it doesn't go to the next generation, it's over. And you can actually see this in different countries around the world. Places where the gospel at one time, the message of Christianity flourished. In fact, there's a lot of roots in these different countries where it's really seen now as a post-Christian culture. Hmm. You think of some European places that it hasn't been passed to the next generation very well. There's other cultures that are flourishing right now because it's clearly being passed on. And this really brings to mind 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul is instructing young Timothy, a young pastor in the ministry, and he says this. He says, "In the things which you have heard from among me and among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Okay, so he's talking about passing it on. Mm-hmm. You notice there's four generations he mentions there. There's him. There's Timothy. Timothy passed on to other men who pass it on to others. Uh-huh. Like, those four generations of Christianity taking place right there. Okay, that's a healthy church. And that's what we need to be gearing up for. We need to be passing it on. And when I think of how discipleship really works, it's time with people. You're walking alongside. It's life on life. You think of Jesus with the disciples. It wasn't like he just met with them for 30 minutes over coffee. He had life with them. He experienced life with them. He walked with them. They ate together. They did ministry together. They visited different villages together, or even family. They even went to celebrations together. It was life together. And they got to witness Jesus. If you think about the whole rabbi system, that Jesus was considered a rabbi. We don't think of him as a rabbi, but he was clearly considered a rabbi. Unconventional one, you know, I'll give you that. Right. But yet the idea is that a rabbi would have disciples, which Jesus clearly did. And the idea is that the disciples would learn from the teacher, the rabbi, and one day they would kind of graduate, you could say, and they would become teachers or rabbis themselves. They would be passing it on. So the rabbi would basically be raising up these disciples. That's our goal. So then these disciples would become the teachers that would then have their own disciples. And then it passes on. So the reason we're here 2,000 years later as Christians is because it's been passed on generation to generation to generation and now passed to us.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I even like that you said it's almost our burden to disciple others because that's the way in which Christianity continues throughout the years. And I think that biblically, maybe Jesus and, you know, the apostles are laying that out by saying the way that you do this is, like you said, through relationships, not necessarily organized institution of academic research is the way that Christianity is going to get passed down. Yeah. But instead, it's going to be these relationships that's going to be the way in which you grow someone else and share Christianity is by living life with them. Yeah. It made me think of this. I was really amazed. I was doing church and ministry in Michigan. We were visiting this younger, vibrant church, maybe 15 years old. We gave a tour of the campus. It was really beautiful, very focused on the arts and reaching their community. And I remember asking, is any of the original staff still on staff who planted the church? And the pastor at the time's like thinking, he's like, no, I think it's been passed on to the next generation of pastors. And it was amazing to see this church still exists through a transition where nobody was there. Mm. Who planted the church, and yet it's still growing, it's still vibrant, and it's independent of some kind of strong organizational structure. It's dependent on people, living for the mission and discipling others and doing relationships together that continues churches and continues Christianity.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I tend to think of it this way, that we should all have a Paul in our life, we should all have a Barnabas, and we all should have a Timothy. The idea is that I should have Paul in my life, someone that I receive from, like a mentor, that I have to purposely place that person there. I need to ask, usually. I need to find this person. So I need to have a Paul, someone I receive from, someone that's gone before. You know, they've weathered more years, you know, as far as just being a Christian. Then I need to have a Barnabas, someone I can walk with. We're kind of on the even level, and we encourage one another, and they could be accountability. And then I need to have a Timothy. Timothy represents the next generation. Someone else that I'm pouring into that's younger than me. Maybe it could be a similar age, but maybe younger in the Lord as well. Right. So then coming alongside and helping them kind of grow and learn some of the lessons that I learned years ago.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's kind of, we talked about this before. Sometimes it goes against just kind of our culture in America to invest that much, even in ourselves, but to invest that deeply into relationships. I think what you're describing, Troy, it takes a lot of time and a lot of commitment.
Yeah,
it's and there true. Seems to be a little, some less value placed on that today. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you're going to look at your schedule and you're going to say, I'm doing good because I've got all these work activities and personal growth activities and family activities. Yeah, there's not a lot of time this week for relationships and friendships, but hey, I'm busy and that's good. Would you say that we kind of have that perspective?
Oh yeah, we want to, I know I can fall into this. We want to check it off the box. Yeah, I met with this person. But yet there's something for discipleship really to happen. It needs to be kind of a deeper connection. There's this understanding that I'm walking with you through this. You know, as life happens, unfolds, that we're going to take this on together, whatever may come.
So on that note, I'd love to hear some examples, and you've been in ministry for a long time, and you've been a believer for a long time. What are some examples you've had where you have called to disciple others?
To disciple others?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, how it started with me early on was someone came alongside me, and I didn't really know much. You know, I had some Bible background because I went to a Christian school, but I didn't start walking with the Lord until my sophomore year of college. And so there was this guy named Shane that I ran into at Campus Crusade. And so with that, he started meeting with me. And then we would just start getting into the Bible. And there were certain times that he would just encourage me to just practice the faith, to just live out my relationship with Jesus, and encourage me just in practical ways. You know, hey, I need to be spending time in the Bible. I need to be praying. He also wanted me to start using my gifts, figure out what are my gifts and start using them. So it was this real kind of life on life. But there, I remember distinctly, there was this time, this is where accountability comes in, where you have to be willing, I think, to ask some of the tough questions. I think of Jesus, how he asked some of the tough questions for the disciples. He challenged them. And I remember I was smoking at the time, or at least to some degree. You know, I wasn't like, you know, maybe half a pack
a
day.
You're a young adult. Yeah. You gotta find ways to rebel in some
way. Right. Yeah, exactly. So I was smoking to some degree. And so I really wanted to stop, and I made some attempts to stop. And I wasn't like so hooked that it was like this grueling experience, but I just didn't want to totally let it go. And I remember the guy who was discipling me, he just kind of challenged me. And he was like, okay, you need to do this. And he was basically, I failed several times. I didn't really kind of stick with it. And he's like, I'm not going to be meeting with you anymore until you figure this out.
Wow.
And I'll walk with you through it, but you need to be determined. And you know what? I think I threw that pack of cigarettes away and I never looked back. And it was one of those things that God really set me free from it. But it took someone that kind of showing a little tough love as well,
right,
which is part of discipleship, asking the tough questions.
Do you think that maybe in our culture that there's some pride that gets in the way from admitting that someone can come alongside us and lead us and give insights in a way that we could be better, or that we have room to grow? Is it difficult to admit that, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We have this kind of American independence, right? Like, I'm my own person. I can do this. You know, why do I need someone else? But there's really strength in admitting that we have need, that we need someone that's gone down this path before us. And so there's something where I need to really let go of my pride. For me, it's been pride. Yeah. Allowing someone else in. Because here's the thing, if I let someone else in, you're going to see the good, but you're going to see the not so good as well. And that's part of discipleship.
Right.
You know, because I think in our culture, we live in a presentation-driven culture, right? Like, we want to put forward what we want people to receive from us and to see from us. not maybe the real stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So that's where discipleship, I think, really flourishes, when you're willing to kind of open up and say, this is what's going on. How can you help me walk through this together?
Absolutely. I think there might even be some fear and anxiety that people have.
Absolutely.
To let their secrets out, or mm-hmm. their sins out. Mm-hmm. Maybe fear of rejection, mm-hmm. and fear that this person is not going to accept them and no longer going to want to meet them. And I think we hold those things in, and that is a barrier to growth.
Yeah, there's a trust issue here as well. Maybe you've been burned by someone. You've opened up, and mm-hmm. someone has misused that, you know, maybe even use it against you. And so we have to trust the Lord for that, even if I have been burned. If you've been burned, I would ask that you trust Jesus with that, be willing to trust again that God can give you what you need to be able to be willing to be vulnerable and move forward. But yeah, it can't be a scary thing, for sure. But that's where real growth takes place as well.
Yeah, I like to think of it kind of like an investment. I mean, we say this all the time, but you're only going to get what you put into it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If you're not willing to go below surface mm-hmm. level, then don't expect there to be deep growth in who you are as a Christian if you're afraid to go into those deep, dark places.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. And I remember being challenged, you know, when I was being discipled, kind of the early years in college, where I remember one guy that discipled me, we actually went on campus. I was like, okay, we're going to go up to this person and start talking and have a spiritual conversation. We're going to at least try to engage a spiritual conversation. I remember going, what? Can you do that? Is that legal? You know? And I remember going up, and he kind of started the conversation, and then we ended up actually having a good conversation with this girl that was really pretty open talking about spiritual things. So the next time we walked up to someone else, my friend was like, okay, it's your turn. I was like, what? You know, so I started asking some questions, but I got to see it modeled. And I think that's discipleship as well, is you get to see it modeled by someone else. Now you do it. And like Jesus clearly did that with disciples. They got to see him in action. And then it was like, okay, now it's your turn.
Yeah, that's great. I think that even applies for the idea of sharing intimate, you know, aspects of your life. Mm. If you're wanting to disciple someone, you should be willing to model that.
Yeah.
And be willing to enter a conversation where you know, you're not holding back huge chunks of your core identity because you're afraid of how you'll be perceived, but instead you kind of jump in and share. Even though you're hoping to lead someone, maybe you're willing to share some of the ways in which that you fail and that you've experienced growth, or some of the things that you're still wrestling with and struggling with. And I think that the more often that you do that, the more likely the person will reciprocate.
Yeah, discipleship is a two-way street. It can't just be one directional. It's not a one-way road. You have to be willing to be vulnerable. I totally agree with that. And what I've learned is that people can often relate more to my failures than they can my successes. Right. So when I'm vulnerable about my failures, then people go, oh, okay, I connect with that. If I talk about maybe some things that weren't really right and just talk about those, people are like, well, I can't totally relate to that as well.
That's great.
So I think it has to be a two-way street. That's part of the deal.
I love that. I think there might be people out there who are hesitant to enter into relationships where they disciple others because they think they have to share an area in which they excel. Mm. But what you said, I think it's great. Like maybe all you have to do is just share the areas where you no longer completely fail at, and that you've gotten to a level that you can maintain and see some growth. And just share from there. Share from the areas that you've overcome some things, but you don't have it perfect, but you've been able to see growth. And I think that we hopefully all have some of those areas that we can
share. It's part of the journey. You know, and it's good for people to see that we're on this journey. And no matter where you are in your faith, we're always on a growth pattern, right? Like, you never reach a point and go, okay, I'm done growing in this area in discipleship. Right. I'm always should be growing. I should always be moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. What about some examples of others that you've poured into and decided to step out in faith and enter into a relationship that you want to lead and disciple someone?
Yeah, so I remember in college, one of the guys discipled me. It was like, okay, Troy, now it's your turn, and I want you to disciple someone. So I started meeting with this guy. I asked him, hey, he was a couple years younger than me in college, and we had coffee together. And I remember just kind of asking him, are you open to this? Are you willing? And he really was. And it was really fun because I was like, hey, this is kind of a new experience for me. I admit it, I didn't totally know what I was doing, but we were going to figure it out together. But as we got into God's word, I just discovered that as we're reading through, and it almost didn't matter where we were in the Bible, like God would use that. It almost felt like wherever we were was the perfect place for that time. And that's how timeless God's word is. And so as we're going through it, it's like all of a sudden real life applications start jumping out you know, off the page to us. Right. And I remember then the next step was just asking some questions. Okay, what are you going to do about this? Mm-hmm. And I always try to just end our time with a queer challenge, just kind of throwing down a challenge. Okay, what are you going to do about it? It's one thing to talk about. It's one thing to theorize about scripture. You can even go into kind of the background of it. But really what it comes down to, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
So I try to throw down like, okay, let's pick one thing. Let's not make this overcomplicated. Let's not do five steps here.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm going to ask you about this one area. Maybe that's a deeper prayer life. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's sharing your faith with someone, you know, a close friend or family. Maybe that's walking a path of purity in your relationship. Whatever it is, it'd be one thing that we would talk about and say, we're going to talk about it next week.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. Because I remember that happened to me and going, oh, he's going to ask me that. And that would actually kind of help stir up, like, I need to step this into mm-hmm. action and really trust God for this.
I love that. It's about setting realistic goals.
Yeah.
One of my favorite books, author John Acuff has a book called Finish, and he talks about to finish a goal, something you've set, one of the first steps you do is you make a goal, an expectation, and then you cut it in half so that it's doable, so that it's attainable. Because he says that the more completed goals you have under your belt, studies show the more likely you are to set and finish another goal. So I love that when you met with someone, even if you shared a lot of things, they downloaded a lot of areas in their life that they want to see growth, you just ended by saying, now, what's the one way in that which this over this next week you can see some improvement?
Yeah.
Things aren't going to change overnight. Your life's not going to get immediately better. You're not going to feel super connected to God versus the previous week, but you might be able to improve in one small area. And I think that's the kind of growth that is the discipleship expectation, that long, kind of slow, long-term growth.
Yeah, we're looking at the long game.
Right.
You know, if you look back over the years, it's fun when I've met with people, even over 6 months or a year, a couple years, week to week, you might not see a huge growth change, but you look back over the last couple years, it's like, look what God did. And usually that person, and I know at one time I was really like that as well. It's like, man, this is crazy to see what God did. I don't think I noticed it in the day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And it's fun to have someone else help point that out. Have you noticed what God has done? The distance that you've gone in this is really neat.
I love that. What about, we talk a lot about being open to opportunities of discipleship. And I think sometimes those opportunities might even be unexpected. Mm. Do you have any examples of a time in which maybe someone wanted to meet and next thing you know, it's turning into an ongoing discipleship relationship or something that kind of completely caught off guard that you didn't see this open door that God had for you, whether to disciple someone or enter into a discipleship relationship with somebody else that God had waiting for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's times I put preconditions on this. Like, okay, I can disciple this type of person or this type of demographic or similar in age or maybe a little younger. And I found that God has put different people in my life, sometimes that are even that are older or significantly older, but yet are newer in the faith or need to be challenged maybe in a certain area that I feel like is maybe a strength of mine. And so I try not to put those limits on it anymore. But one time I did. I was like, okay, there's a criteria. It's got to look like this. And I realized I just need to let go of that and be open to how the Spirit wants to lead in matching that up.
Yeah, I like that. I did a youth ministry for almost 14 years. And something that I learned probably way too late is that obviously, you can see the discipleship opportunities in youth ministry are endless, and it seems like, but not every, you're not called to disciple every student. Yeah. But I often saw when a student wanted to meet and talk about one situation in their life, more often than not, that turned into the ongoing discipleship. Like, hey, I just want to chat about one thing. Yeah. I'm struggling with this decision, you know, a teenager. So it's like relationship stuff or parent stuff, but it ends up kind of uncovering some of these core identity concepts with their faith. And more often than not, I was able to easily turn those into opportunities of like, hey, let's meet again. That was really good. Let's meet again and let's pray. And then they come again. Let's meet again. I think even for us in the discipling other adults, you might have opportunities in the past or maybe they'll come in the next couple of weeks where someone just wants to meet once to talk about something. Mm-hmm. Maybe in their life group and they're like, hey, let's grab coffee and just I got some stuff going on at work that I'd love to download. And if they are willing to have that kind of conversation, I'm sure they're more willing to continue to meet and continue to it'll start with 3 or 4 conversations about work, and then that might lead into conversations about faith and about things that they're struggling with.
Yeah, and again, I try to have a loose grip on this as well. And sometimes people have expectations. Once I start a discipleship relationship, it has to be forever.
Yeah.
That's clearly not the case. Yeah. I look back at my life. I had different people that poured into me for seasons. It really was for seasons. It may be a year or a couple years. But I feel like God had that person in my life for that season to glean something very particular or special that God used that time. So kind of remove the pressure from it. And even sometimes, there are times I've been meeting with someone, and then all of a sudden, a couple months later, I'm like, wow, I think this person's discipling me. Uh-huh. And I don't think that was my intention to begin with anyways, but I believe God will do that if you're open to it.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I think even if someone's like, I don't know how long this is going to take, I think you could even say, hey, let's just meet six times. When someone's like, do I have the time to do this? Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure. And you're sensing some hesitation, you go, let's just meet six times and see how it goes, you know, make that commitment.
Right.
And then they can commit to that because it's going to take some calendar schedule juggling, you know.
Yeah.
I think if they can commit to six times, that could be it or it could go longer.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off too if you do that. And it's like, okay, let's meet these six times and then see what God does. A lot of times that will turn into something else. But if it doesn't, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
Like it's okay.
Yeah. So before we end, I'd love to ask another question and get your perspective. You lead a lot of our global outreach here at the church, and you spend a lot of time overseas. I'd love to learn from you, what can we glean from other cultures and in the way they do discipleship? And how is it different than the way that we might be used to doing discipleship? And how can we use some of those differences to help us grow?
Yeah, it's interesting. Outside of maybe more developed cultures, you know, like the U.S. or Europe or other places like that. Outside, it seems like time is not so much an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, here we're kind of like, okay, I got 20 minutes, you know, go.
Yeah.
You know, and you try to fit as much in as you can. Or, I fall into this trap. I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, okay, you know, we got to start winding this down. But I found in other cultures, time is just not so much an issue. Priority is given to relationship. Mm. And that's something I really try to glean from when I'm in other cultures. It was interesting to me. One of the first mission trips I went to, I took a bunch of youth to Southeast Asia and were there at this restaurant. And it turned into like this 3-hour meal.
Yeah.
And I remember being amazed that the waiter wasn't itching to get us moved on or give us a bill. The waiter was just sitting there watching TV in the back room and would never come and bring us a bill until we asked for it because he didn't want us to interfere with the relationship at the time that we had together. And so you really see that as being some of the time is just being set aside like, hey, we're just going to spend time together. And in the midst of that time, we believe God will use it. Mm. So I think we can really grow and learn from just that idea of allowing it to be more organic, not be so time driven.
Yeah, I think we could even see that in the cultural context of the Bible was written.
Just
this kind of like,
absolutely.
Hey, come and follow me. And they're like, well, you know, obviously it's Jesus who said that to the disciples, but people who would just spend whole days with figures in the Bible, you know, that they didn't have that plan to spend a whole day with someone.
You look at how time was just embedded in the discipleship process with Jesus, with his disciples. They would go from one community to another, one village or one city to another. They're just walking along. Well, they need to eat. Okay, someone has to go get some food, and it's kind of a group project. Someone, you know, has to get a fire going. It was this time was just incorporated in part of the process, where it was just there was just more relationship time, you know, built into what they were doing. And so we just live in such a different culture where we get sound bites instead of kind of this longer time. And I found that if I'm willing to just slow down and kind of set my agenda aside, even my watch aside at times. Mm-hmm. God really uses that. I think we can really grow from that.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think that kind of goes against our culture in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Especially this kind of like, I do what I want to do. I protect my time because I'm so busy otherwise. I definitely can't invest in other people.
Yeah, I live in appointments and I want to change that mentality, you know, I had my appointment, you know, discipleship, you know, scheduled meeting, you know, check. And so I don't think Jesus saw it as checking off a box at all.
Right.
His goal was raising up this next generation because he's going to leave, right? You know, he had 3-ish years with his disciples and then he left and it was all on them. So it was uttermost importance for him to pass it on. And it should be for us as well.
Yeah. I think that's really good. I think a very 2019 way to look at that is, how often are we spending time maybe texting our friends and calling our friends, or even are we just scrolling through social media, or are we looking for posts from our friends and relationship we have that we could comment on and encourage them, or even use that to, when you meet with them, like, hey, you know, I saw that you had a really rough week last week. You mentioned needing prayer for your family. I'd love to talk more about that. You know, and it seems funny that we would use social media to disciple others, but that's a better time than just using social media to waste time.
Well, yeah, use the technology that you have. Yeah. We have this technology. Let's use it. Let's leverage it for the kingdom. Let's leverage it for growth. That's a good reminder, is that we can use this to send an encouraging verse or encouraging, you know, a little message, or just kind of, hey, let them know I'm praying for you. I love texts like that.
Yeah.
If I get that, or I get some kind of social media update, like, it warms my heart and encourages me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Just this week, a close friend of mine, Instagram messaged me that he needed prayer because he's in ministry and there's lots of really tough stuff going on and he's experiencing some depression. And there was even some guilt that I hadn't, like, you know, been texting back and forth over these weeks, but he still used that opportunity to let me know that he needs prayer. And I said, hey, we'd love to get together for dinner and talk and pray about that. So, you know, that was an opportunity that happened through technology, and hopefully that'll turn into an opportunity to dig into those relationships.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate all you could share with us about discipleship. I'd love to hear from people, some of their experiences that they maybe had. We've been doing the Discipleship Project for a couple of weeks now, and there might be some of you out there that have reached out, and you took that effort to ask someone to meet with you. That's either, hey, I need to be discipled, or I'd like to pour into you and invest in you. Maybe those are going great. Maybe you tried it and someone's like, I don't know if I have time to do that. But we want to hear that. We want to hear how it's going and what you've been experiencing so far. So when we drop this podcast, I'm going to put a question on the LBF Church Facebook group, and hopefully that you'll engage in that and answer any questions. Again, thank you so much, Troy, for being with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah. We're all in this together. We're all called to be a part of this.
That's right. See you Sunday. Okay.